Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
I'm referencing my notes.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, listen to this. Last night, driving to the gym on a kind of like a three-lane highway. Not too crazy, but enough.
Kind of like a three-lane highway?
It's a three-lane highway. It's just not so busy. You know, there are traffic lights. And anyway.
Got it. All right.
My car just stops. Dead stops right in the middle lane. Won't turn back on. I'm like freaking out. There's cars behind me on either side. The right lane is closed. Cars are like speeding around me and honking at me because I can't move. I have my hazards on. Nobody cares. Cop pulls up. Cop's like, yeah, do you have a tow truck yet? And I was like, yeah, I called roadside assistance. They're on their way. It might be an hour. And I'm like, I'm calling them back right now to tell them I'm a hazard and I'm holding traffic. And he's like, yeah, I got to get you moved. Can I bump you over into the right lane? And I'm like, I literally just got my bumper replaced today, but okay. So he gets behind me, right? And he starts ramming the back of my car. As I cannot get my car into drive, it won't move out of gear. And he just keeps pushing the car. I'm like, oh my God. I like finally get out. I'm like waving my arms out the window. I finally get out. I'm like, please stop. Oh, he's like, okay, your car will move. I'm like, what did you think I was doing? Anyway, it was such a panic ridden night. I finally got towed to the Jeep dealership and I'm picking my car up this afternoon after I give them $2,000. So cool story.
Does it have a new bumper?
No, yeah, the bumper's fine, actually.
That's good.
But yeah, what a pain.
Wow.
Anyway, let's get into it. Let's do the huddle. What's top of mind for you this week?
Top of mind for this week is our first, I guess we're calling it huddle, which will be in the second week of March. So I'm working on the page. If all goes well, by the time anybody's listening to this, the page will be up and people can, I don't know if I'll have invitations for it, but yeah, I'm looking forward to our first kind of open conversation around one-on-ones.
Yes, sir. Awesome.
How about you?
So for me, it's just been talking a lot about team angle. Like I recorded a presentation this week for the Agile Network. I got booked to do this Chicago Camps tent talks thing. I'm going to talk about team angle. So it's top of mind for me is like, how do we share the word about team angle far and wide?
Get it out there. All right.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing about the Chicago Camps.
Yeah.
It's a Q&A. Let's should be get cool. into this week's review. On the team angle side, we had a pair of posts from our team angle kind of book in progress around the topic of collaboration. And then this week, Brett, you took point again 2 weeks in a row on a response post on resilience on that article that you found. And it's Fast Company, right?
Forbes.
Forbes. Okay. All right. So why don't you walk us into that? You know, what did you read? How did it inspire your response to that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I came across this article, the one I shared it with you in Slack a few weeks ago. The title of it on Forbes is Resilience, the Most Coveted Leadership Skill for 2025. So that like raised an eyebrow right away. The article basically argues that resilience is the defining trait of great leaders. People who can adapt, recover, and push through challenges are the people who are going to thrive. And I agree. Like, I think that matters. But I think I kind of wanted to push back on it a little bit because I think resilience can mean a lot of things. But it isn't just about individual endurance, especially as a leader. I think if a leader is the only thing that's holding a team together, that's not resilience. It's kind of like slow motion collapse. Mm-hmm. So to me, real resilience comes from team alignment, clear communication, shared responsibility. And like not just one person shouldering all the weight. So today I kind of want to talk about what we think resilience should look like in leadership and why we kind of need to rethink the lone hero mindset. So Let's dig in. I kind of want to talk a little bit, maybe first about just this concept, right? Like, to me, this article was an attention grabber, just, you know, when you read, you know, that it's like the most coveted leadership skill. Do you think resilience is overhyped in leadership conversations? Like, what was your initial reaction to that?
It's a two-parter. One, I think that a lot of folks, let's just talk about what the word means. Like, when we say we're being resilient and what that means, because I've seen, even last week, I saw a leader who I've known for a while talk about their own resilience. And it kind of got me thinking of previous conversations and just observations. I think a lot of people misdiagnose what's going on as them being resilient when it's more of got through a thing. And I say that because right. I know a lot of folks who consider themselves, I shouldn't say a lot. I know several people that consider themselves resilient when it's like, no, you're not. You just keep pushing decisions down the road, right? You're not resilient. I might make a word up here. You're avoidant. Yeah. Right. Like, it's like, so, you know, like avoiding things to the point where they resolve themselves so that leader no longer has to deal with it.
Right.
Right. And unfortunately, those same leaders have that, like, a huge negative impact on their team because the team's wanting them to make decisions, right? Wants them to give direction, make decisions, and they don't. And so the team inevitably gets, you know, kind of pulled behind this person, having to endure kind of together, but not, right? Because the leader doesn't think that way. They just think like, I'm the one here being resilient, you know?
Right. Like, I'm trying to get things done. Things are changing within the organization. I'm trying to react to it.
Yeah.
Come along with me, team. But like, they might not be really communicating that well. Do you think that that's something that's related to burnout? I mean, it's like that. If that continues, eventually, as a leader, you're burning out, and also your team is burning out.
Well, that kind of goes like to like second part of those people who say or think they're resilient. Inevitably, if they're not already burned out, they will.
Right.
Right. And then things will kind of work themselves out one way or the other. Like I said, good or bad. Mm-hmm. They'll take some time off, come back, and be like, "I'm resilient. I made it through." When it's really like, nope, then the next thing comes along and they're right back to being burned out.
Yeah.
Right. And when I read the one article in Forbes, there's like a little bit of that of like, I got through hard times. And that's only part of being resilient. That's only, it's not the whole thing. Right.
Right.
And
let's be honest,
burnout is huge.
We're all resilient. We're human beings. Right. I mean, everyone's resilient to a degree.
Sure.
And so to say that resilience is the most coveted leadership skill is like, okay, so you're talking about humans who can adapt.
Well,
to me, it's about adaptability and preparedness more than anything.
Oh, yeah, totally. But you know, here's why I think that headline came across is because we are living in some very mm-hmm. uncomfortable, stressful, uncertain times, right? 100%. Like, just when you don't think it could get any worse or any, you know, that we might reduce the amount of ambiguity out there, it just continues to get worse. And so, of course, that's a skill people want because it's basically, and it's a bad sign because what it says to me is companies are looking for leaders who can just hold their shit together while the world's on fire. Right.
Yep.
And that's if that's an important leadership skill, then the company is just looking to survive. It's not looking to thrive.
Right. Well, I mean, there is that idea that a leader not only needs to hold their own shit together, but their mm-hmm. teams, right? So they're mm-hmm. responsible for a lot of people. And to me, this is the bigger part of the topic or the conversation. It's even in times like this, when teams are being cut, you know, people are being laid off or being asked to do more with less, like, how do you start to build that collective resilience? Because, you know, what I'm saying in the article is it's not on one person. A good No. leader will actually pull a team into it so that everyone is adaptable rather than resilient. So what are some things that leaders can do?
one, not think that they're going to shoulder the burden.
Right.
You know, you and I have actually worked with somebody who once said when, you know, shit was happening left and right, and they literally said, I alone can fix this.
Right.
Right.
Like, that's not what, number one, a leader's role is. They're not there to be, you know, blocking all this. And I like your idea and 100% agree of you got to pull the team into it. But it's not like, okay, I'm going to spread the stress around. It's more right. of that's a really good time for the team to develop their communication skills, you know, and build the trust, build the level of transparency that makes sense, and make sure that there's open conversation both ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
When times are tough, like they are right now, the worst thing you can do is try to keep communication, you know, one-sided, one way.
Right.
I mean, that just amps up, you know, ambiguity, stress, you know, like everything. So I think there's the building in the habits of communication, but also along that is making decisions. Mm. I feel like that's when I have coached leaders in the past where things become even more difficult, which leads to their, you know, being charred, burned out. It's because they're not making decisions. They're so afraid right. to make it worse. When, you know, especially when it comes to team leadership, teams can be pretty forgiving if you give them just enough transparency in that communication and then to make a decision, right? And then to even recognize, like, here's how we're going to know if this is a good or bad decision. And then we're going to roll with it, like, to your word, here's how we're going to adapt accordingly, right? That's very much, all this is a very much a team conversation, not a, you know, I will do this alone perspective.
Right. So why do you think so many leaders struggle with that hero mindset? It's like, yeah. I'm the one who saved the day. You know, like that person, like, what did that person get out of that? There's a lot of risk in taking that kind of burden on too. And mm-hmm. if it doesn't work out, then you don't look so good.
Yeah, I think it's, in my experience, I think leaders take on that mindset because they think it's that's their job. Right. That's the role I play. And it's almost like this has to be my superpower because the buck stops with me, you know? And yeah, I think it's kind of baked into some really bad preconceived notions of what a leader's role is, especially when it comes to facing challenges. Right.
Yeah. It just, it seems like a dated kind of mindset to me, right?
Very
it
much.
Seems like control and command style, you know, leadership that really just doesn't work with the current times, at least in the places that we know and where we work.
I don't think it works at all. I think even in those places that where it's being, you know, it's in practice, I would argue if you and I went in there, we'd find all kinds of problems where...
Oh my goodness, yes.
It's not working. Like that kind of mindset just doesn't work, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, it just leads to all kinds of fail.
Well, such an interesting topic. I don't know if you have any like final thoughts on resilience, but for me, I think it's really just about, yes, it is a good skill to have, but it's not a skill to me as much as a way of thinking.
Yeah.
And really being strategic about the way that you're communicating with your team, how you're bringing your team into your problems, how you're kind of like adapting and mm-hmm. coming up with solutions together. To me, that's really what it's about. Because we're going to have to continue to adapt as things get more challenging in the current landscape.
I think my last thought with this would be is, you know, to like measure where are you, you know, on the resilient scale. Is when things go bad, was it just like this is just a different flavor of, you know, problems we've done before, or, you know, however right. you want to call it? Or is it, all right, you know, circle the wagons, set up meetings, you know, this is an emergency.
Yeah.
To me, that's the difference between a true resilient team and one that's just, you know, going through the burnout.
Avoid the burnout. Have the tough conversations, which leads me into the ask.
Yeah.
What are you going to ask this week?
So the ask is to go to sameteampartners.com and there on the homepage or in the navigation, you'll see conversation cards because Our conversation cards are finally available in a store, and they're selling. They're selling well. And, you know, I think we're going to, we've kind of kicked off our marketing effort, but we've got more to say on that. And they're just, they tested well. We know they work well. What still floors me is how we talk about adaptable, how teams in very different organizations have used these cards to have the, and the feedback is always the same, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if it's technology or in, restaurant business or engineering, like it's astounding to me how much people appreciate the cards.
So go grab them. All right, let's get into the hit list. That's you.
Yes. So I've got two, and they're both reading. My first is a book that was introduced to me by a colleague, former colleague at IBM, and it's The Experience Economy by Joseph Pine, or B. Joseph Pine. And it's an older book, but one that's new to me. And it's, it talks about how experience is what sells. Just kind of puts into perspective just the mindset of consumers and users, and how that applies to everything in the economy.
Absolutely. It applies a lot to agencies who work with clients, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
But yep. I mean, there are tons of areas where it can apply.
Yep.
My first an article that I read this week that stuck out is Language, Why We Hear More Than Words. Kind of talks about tone and pace and basically like coded language and how we can kind of misinterpret people's intentions. I thought it was a really good, interesting short read.
That is interesting, especially for people that communicate asynchronously.
Right? Yes.
How often?
Or even for people like me who, when I get excited, I start to get more louder and more forceful, and I have become more aware of that. Like, I don't mean anything by it. It just is, it happens.
Sure. It's natural. My second is, it's kind of a website, a website and a magazine. The New Yorker turns 100 this week. And so they've got it's pretty cool. I want to say they published it. They'll turn 100 tomorrow or the day after. Anyway, of course, they're celebrating in style. There's a huge, I think, double size anniversary edition of the magazine. I ordered it. It's not arrived yet, but the website, go check it out. It's a very cool kind of blend of, you know, origin story, what we've been up to. And it's just really cool.
Awesome. We actually get the New Yorker, so hopefully I get that here too, that special edition. Along the lines of anniversaries, I also have an anniversary in my watching category, and it was the Saturday Night Live 50 concert. I don't know if you saw it, but it was like
I saw clips.
3-hour show. I watched 90% of it, but I have a link here to part of the sketch that Will Ferrell and Anna Gasteyer did. Remember that? The couple that were like played the keyboard and she sang. I mean, she's hilarious. I mean, they're both hilarious, but like, she's great. They did the Kendrick Lamar
nice
song. Yeah, it's like pretty funny. So,
A minor.
Can I add one more really quick?
Sure.
And I'm going to add a category, and it's called eating, because thank you to Costco for selling these Post Malone Oreos. I'm thankful that they only sell them. They sell them in like a giant box of 2-packs. So I only can eat 2 at a time. Like, if there was a whole box here, I would probably just eat all of them.
Post Malone Oreos.
Yeah, they're like sea salt caramel or something like that with like chocolate. Yeah, they're so good.
Interesting. I'm curious to know what the backstory is. Well, let's get into this week's high five. What are you celebrating this week?
I'm high-fiving resilience.
Okay.
I thought the conversation we just had was really interesting. I thought that article is interesting. I also feel like a couple of things that we touched on in our discussion, just about like where the country is right now, what the future looks like. I think we are resilient people, and things haven't been easy, and they're not going to get easier, but we're doing good things, and that's all we can do, right? So cheers to resilience.
I'll high five that. High five.
High five.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing, visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Beth and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and send them a review. Thank you.